The Egg and the Scorpion, Canterbury Tales style. Once there was an egg that a young child cared for day and night. It kept it warm and safe so that it could hatch. The child's excitement grew as the egg started moving about, and then the shell started to crack. The child thought of the bird that would come out of the egg. The child smiled with anticipation as the egg cracked, and out came a scorpion. The scorpion stung the child, and the child died. The end. The moral of this story? There is none, because scorpions don't come from eggs. Jesus said, "Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion?" No, of course not. But there's the part there where Jesus asks that nonsensical, seemingly good-for-nothing question as part of his Jesus-y thing. And then the follow-up to it, it either makes things more confusing or adds clarity. That's Jesus-y too. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So Jesus is hanging out with the disciples and maybe some other people listening, and He says, if you then, who are evil... Okay, that's not what Jesus said. I know it's translated there, and it was probably not what He said. The Greek word, it can be translated as evil, but it also carries really a better meaning for this context, and it's a sense of calling someone a good-for-nothing with a wink. All right then, you good-for-nothings. You know how not to give scorpions as gifts to your children. So how much more will God give the Spirit to those who ask? So it's a little clearer and a little more confusing. Don't really know why He used the snake and the scorpion stuff. And I just have a taste for some eggs. I have a friend who comes to the church about once every 2 weeks. Leanne and I have this secret. Because he drives a water truck. But he also has a farm, and he brings eggs that were hatched in the last couple of days. And for $2 or $3 a dozen, we just get farm fresh eggs. Yeah? Oh, yeah, they were not hatched. Yeah, because they weren't scorpions. They're not scorpions. Yeah, they were laid in the last couple days. I love it when I get corrected during a sermon. And honestly, I really do. Thank you. Yes, they were just laid in the last couple of days. And then the yellows are so yellow they're almost orange. So good. And I have never cracked one of those eggs and out came a scorpion. But I have a taste for eggs every time I read this little section of the Bible, and I say, hold the scorpion. All right, so the egg and the scorpion. That's sort of a mini sermon, and I don't even know exactly what it means, except yes, God can do better than people who know how to give good gifts to their children. But there's a whole bunch of other things in here. There's like all these little segments. There's ask, seek, and knock. So someone comes up to your door at 3 in the morning, right? Or midnight, knocks really hard and says, give me some bread, I got some guests coming over. And you say, are you kidding? No, I'm not going to give you bread. It's 3 in the morning. That's rules for us. The rules in New Testament time was, no, you opened the door and you gave bread. That's just what you did. A friend comes over. But this person isn't doing that. And then there's this part. No, I tell you that it's not because you knocked on the door, or they say that they're not going to, but they're going to because of your, it says persistence, his persistence. And here's another one where the word isn't really translated right. Persistence is just keep doing it until you get what you want. This one is more shamelessness or audacity or brashness or rudeness. Bang on the door really hard until your friend opens the door. They'll open it because they'll just want to get rid of you so bad because of your shamelessness. so much more will God give you what you ask for. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock really hard, really brashly, really rudely, really shamelessly, and the door will be opened. That's what Jesus was saying there. He was telling people, don't take no for an answer, and it's not about persistence, just keep at it. And when it doesn't work, get louder. And when it doesn't work, get brasher. Huh. We don't really pray that way, you know? God, I didn't get what I want, so I'm going to yell at you some. I'm going to knock really hard. But it seems that that's Jesus's part there. Give me some bread. I need it to serve some other people. So there's that. But then there's this prayer. We know the prayer. We've said it. Raise your hand if you know the Lord's Prayer. Raise your hand if it's a new one this week for you. See, it usually isn't, but it can be. Things that we learn by rote, they become important in our lives. I want to tell you a story about a friend of mine. He was involved in a home invasion and a hostage situation. It was in a cabin, family on vacation. Someone comes in and has escaped from prison and is desperate, has a gun, and takes the family hostage in order to, didn't know what, but I'm going to rob you, then I'm going to run out, but there are police around, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to get out of this by holding you hostage. And so my friend is the dad. And there are two children and a wife, and they're all really scared. Immediately the kids run into the bedroom under the bed when all this happens, and they're kind of safe, although they're known to be there. And the wife is here, and the guy talked to the man and said, please, you know, let us go. We don't want any trouble or anything. Take whatever you want. And then the guy was starting to look at the wife and talk about the daughter a little bit, and this made the man, the husband, really nervous because he's like, oh no, I'm going to get robbed. My family is going to, well, you know. And so he decided he had to take action. He lived to tell me this story, so there's a good part. But here's what happened. He went and he looked and he saw the guy had a real gun, real bullets, and he went and he said, we're all toast no matter what. So I'm going to try to make this better. So he went and he lunged for the guy, and the guy shot him in his clavicle, which then ricocheted and went down and came out his hand. The police came after that, and things settled down, but my friend was shot. And through all of that, through all of the situation that he was going through, and he didn't have any words, and he was a church-going guy, but not like super active in church, but he remembered the things he had said by rote as a child. One of them was the Lord's Prayer, and so while he was wondering if he was going to live, wondering if this situation was ever going to get better, wondering if his family was going to be okay, he just said over and over again, Our Father, who art in heaven, be blessed. Come, thy will be done. On earth as in heaven, give us our daily bread. He kept saying it because he had no other words, and those words were present for him. So let me tell you something. Learning things by rote are not bad. I mean, sometimes we say the Lord's Prayer has lost all meaning for those of us who have said it so often. But he had those words that when he was praying, he wasn't praying the Lord's Prayer. He just had to have some words. And so those are the words that came to him, words that had brought him comfort. So learning by rote is a good thing. However, and this is a big however, the Lord's Prayer or the Apostles' Creed or the United Church of Christ Statement of Faith or the Glory Be to the Father or any of the songs that we sing aren't the only things that can bring comfort in times of stress, in times of trial. We learn all kinds of things by rote in our lives. I'm going to address a sacred cow. And it's, you know, we've addressed some sacred cows in our congregation over the years and over the last couple of years. I don't know if we've done this one, and it's about the Lord's Prayer. Generally, when we think of what do we want to have children learn in Sunday school, what do we want to make sure that people know before they're members of the church, before they graduate high school, whatever it is, one of the things is at least we've got to teach them the Lord's Prayer. And there was a time, there really was a time where learning the Lord's Prayer, learning the books of the Bible, learning to memorize Scripture was very important to me. I went through the Awana clubs. Theologically, I'm not at all aligned with the Awana clubs anymore, except, you know, they have the Bible and they have athletics. That's kind of cool. And I learned, I can recite the books of the Old Testament, books of the New Testament, and nothing flat. I know all kinds of Bible verses, and at Bible trivia games and at other trivia games, I'm a whiz because I can recall all of these things that I've learned, especially Bible verses. And I know the Lord's Prayer in, you know, all the traditions, the Methodist tradition, the United Church of Christ, the Lutheran, you know, where we say debts or we say sins or we say trespasses. I can do them all. You probably can too. But really, what all of those prayers and all of that memorization has done for me is made me look smart and impress people when it comes to recalling things from the Bible or being able to say the books of the Old and New Testament. I don't think it's made me a better person. I don't think it's made me a better Christian. I don't think it's made me want to do good, want to care for other people. So, at least we have to teach them the Lord's Prayer. You know, in some ways, it's dangerous. Because if we think, as a congregation, that if somebody learns the Lord's Prayer, at least they'll have that part there, and maybe that will come back, and maybe that will be important to them in a really difficult, dangerous situation, then we've missed out on the prayer itself. When we talk about confirmation, I've talked with the confirmation teachers, and I say, you know what, I don't care if we have memorized the Beatitudes or have memorized the Lord's Prayer or anything like that. What I want students to do is to engage the questions of faith and to find what is really, really important about our faith. And I know the two rules, the love God and love everyone, have to be a part of it. But memorizing a prayer, I keep asking the question, what good is Christianity? I've asked it in Bible studies. I ask it on a daily basis. And in answer to the question, people come up with answers and they talk about it. But I'm not sure that we've found a truly satisfactory answer, because always it's, well, as a Christian, you can show love for others. Well, that's not limited to Christianity. As a Christian, when you die, you get to go to heaven. Okay, but a person who's not a Christian that maybe doesn't believe that, that's not, you can't even use that as a, here, become a Christian because when you die, you get to go to heaven. Oh, I don't believe there's a heaven, so why would that be something that would be important. So what is good about being a Christian that isn't good about just being a person who does good and is kind and is forgiving and seeks there to be enough and wants strength in difficult times? It continues to be a question that as a larger church and as St. Paul's United Church of Christ, we have to answer, or have to at least try to answer, because what other reason might someone have? We can be a Christian church that does all kinds of good. We can care for the sick. Anyone can care for the sick, right? We can help people through difficult times. Anyone can help people through difficult times. We can attend to one another. Anyone can work on attending to one another. We can be in solidarity with one another. Anyone can be in solidarity with one another. So how do we make it so that being a church is any more important than just being a group of do-gooders who care and who love and who forgive? Because anyone can do that. And I don't have the answer, but I think part of it is not enforcing things like we have to learn the Lord's Prayer in order to be part of this place or in order to really feel connected. And we don't have to learn Christianese. I just hate Christianese. Sometimes it's fun to talk in it in a sort of, a semi-mocking way. But if there are words that are only said in church and aren't understandable outside of the church, they probably don't belong in any kind of Christian witness. The language that we use has got to be regular language. The things that we do have to spark something in people that says, I want to be part of that, but also, if I don't hold fast to all of the things that that entails, I can still be part of that. So here I am saying, don't learn the Lord's Prayer. Don't learn, no, I didn't say that, but it's okay not to learn the Lord's Prayer. It's okay not to know it. It's okay not even to have the answers as to what's good about being a Christian. And I'm not sure exactly what to boil it down to, and I always keep coming back to those two rules, love God and love everyone. And within those two rules, there's one rule that just is about love. And when I take that and put it into the Lord's Prayer, I see that this love is kind of woven through there, as in, I love others so much that I want there to be enough. And God, please let there be enough. And God, your love is so strong, and I love others so much that I want to forgive and I want to be forgiven. I want relationships that are reconciled. And God, I love so much that I'm praying for strength to make it through the most difficult times and to do right even when doing right isn't easy. And God, I'm asking shamelessly and saying, give me a reason why following you is any better than just doing what you want, doing good things and caring and attending, forgiving. So love God and love others. But then something, I don't know if it's deeper than that or if it's just so important that I have to separate it from that, even though it's so connected to this love. And it's the concept of enough. All through today's Bible reading, I see this concept of enough. I need enough bread to provide hospitality. I need enough good gifts. I need enough of the Spirit to be able to do this. And the part in the prayer that Jesus taught, give us each day our daily bread. Just enough, not too much, not so much that we can hoard it, enough so that we can all share. So enough shelter. That's something that, whether it's Christian or not, is important. Enough forgiveness. Enough strength. Enough kindness. Enough reconciliation. Enough joy. Enough support. Enough love. Enough bread. Amen.